before you. I pray in your name, Lord, that you would come and
protect us, come and allow us to hear what your Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. You have no place here. And I just pray, Jesus, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be glorious to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've got my sermon notes. Hello, everybody. It's nice to see you guys here. So the title of my sermon is Childish or Childlike? And I have three questions I want you to mull over. First question is this. One day, when you die, what is going to be written on your tombstone? Okay? The second one is, can you think of three Christian people you know who are alive today that inspire you? Your top three Christians that you personally know, and that goes with that is, why do they inspire you? What is it about them that you think these guys have managed to hit the nail on the head? And then the final question is to say, or ask you at least, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Okay. So those are the three things I want you to bear in mind. I would love it to be on my tombstone one day that he walked with God and he loved others. That's my little thing I would love one day, to know that I walked with God. And of the Christian people I know, I could probably count on one hand people who to me are really hardcore Christians. And the things that amaze me about them is their peace, their closeness to God, and their love for people. And now we're coming on to the last part here, this whole thing about a disciple of Jesus. So basically, a disciple has to be disciplined and carry out certain tasks modeling Jesus. That's what we are, as disciples of Jesus. Okay? And there's what we call these spiritual disciplines. There are three kind of classes of spiritual disciplines. There's inner disciplines, outer disciplines, and community disciplines. So, for example, some of the inner disciplines would be things like read your Bible, pray every day, meditation, fasting, and Bible study. It's very important to distinguish the difference between reading your Bible and Bible studies. We'll get onto that just now. Some of the outer disciplines that we should be practicing is simplicity. Have you ever heard of anybody preaching about simplicity in your life before? I mean, the world's all about me, mine, hoard, let me get bigger, and Jesus didn't live like that. Submission, solitude. How often do we have time of being quiet by yourself and going away for a retreat, for example? And service, acts of service. And then the third part of the different disciplines is what we'd call community, like we are here. We're worshiping together. We're celebrating together. Guidance, funnily enough, is a community thing. If I've got a difficult issue, I'd come and lay it before some of the elders in the church, before them, and ask them for their wise input as well. And then another one which is quite interesting to note, as it's actually a community thing, is confession. I think confession is something that we as Christians have kind of forgotten. You do it the first time and then you think that's it. But it's not about that. It's daily confessing our sins. So those are the three areas. And our little, I used to do a lot of canoeing. I was very blessed to be able to take part at the Olympic Games. And one of the little phrases we used to have is say, visit each room weekly. So in your training program, because I was disciplined, I was almost a disciple of canoeing. You know, I had to be at that level to achieve. So I had to have a very strict program that worked out in all areas, but it said, visit each room weekly. But there's an engine room. And I think what I want to speak to you guys tonight about is the engine room. The engine room of what is the core of our faith. Because we live in this very delicate balance as we walk in our Christian walk. And I'm going to read this verse to you, which to me is one of the rather scarier verses in the Bible. It's towards the end of Jesus' message on the sermon. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in chapter 7, Matthew 7, from verse 15. And Jesus says this. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And those are very hard words from Jesus. How do we, who are told we must just believe in Jesus and we're going to go to heaven, actually think that through? Because we live in this difficult place where on the one side, we have to live by faith, but then faith has to have works, but works without faith is dead. In the same way, we have Jesus who was full of grace and truth. We have people who can be extremely judgmental and not have any grace in somebody's life. Or you have the people who are completely gracious and will not speak truth into somebody's life. In the same way, we also have the difference between the Word and the Spirit, where you can have a professor who has got his PhD in theology, who knows nothing about Jesus, or you have some wacko guy who will be prophesying and doesn't know his Bible. Fortunately, this engine room is the key to us stumbling and getting to the point we are not bearing fruit. And this is, to me, the single most important thing. And if this is the last time I could ever preach a sermon or say anything, and I pop off after this, I've done what God wants me to do. Guys, a personal, daily, Bible-based, Spirit-led encounter with Jesus means we grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. And it's as simple as that. I think it was Billy Graham that asked him, what's his favorite song? And he said, that's my favorite song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It means nothing. And mark my words carefully. If there's offense, so be it. It means nothing to be attending programs and going out there on missionary trips and doing stuff if you are not in a personal, daily time with Jesus. And his words are quite plain there. So, why should we do this? Simply one reason, Jesus did it. And there are three little verses, you want to write those down. Turn to Luke chapter 5. And it's verse 12 to verse 16. So Jesus, he's now been tempted. He's been doing various miracles. And now listen to this. In verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let's get to another one. That's in Luke 6, verse 12. It says, just before Jesus wants to appoint his disciples, he says, one of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Just spent the night praying to God. Mark 1. Jesus is beginning of his ministry. He's, again, had been baptized and tempted. And they've just driven out an evil spirit. And he says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John, this is verse 29, to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." And those three things to me, what I get out of that is Jesus isn't really too concerned about where the Spirit is. Imagine, for example, Bloemfontein, they come, we now start ministering, and people are healed and demons are driven out. Our natural human thing is, this is where it's happening, stay right here, let's carry on. Jesus says no. He withdraws, he goes and spends time with God, and listens and says, "Okay, God, actually, this is my mission." So you see, the temptations from Satan is different to the temptations as us as fallen human beings. We want to be cool. We want to be where the Spirit is. But there's nowhere where the Spirit isn't. So this brings me to the next point. I've said the key to this thing is a personal, daily, Bible-based, Spirit-led encounter with Jesus. Why do we do it? Because Jesus did it. How do we do it? The way Jesus said we should do it. So let's turn to Matthew 6. And we're going back now to the Sermon on the Mount again. And I don't feel I'm mature enough in my faith to be able to preach a sermon about this. But I'm going to read the verses. And this is what encapsulates who Jesus. The rabbis of the olden days, they all had their little slogan, and their disciples would know that off by heart. So this is Jesus' slogan. When they ask him, "Teach us how to pray," he then tells them. So in a sense, this should be who we are. This is the core of our identity in Jesus. So Jesus is preaching about all sorts of things on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, now this little section from verse 5 is on prayer. It says, "And when you pray," not if you pray, "and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Again, it's very easy for us to say, "Come to Jesus and he'll forgive your sins." But then we keep the bitterness in our heart. So here it comes. 5 steps to being able to read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Step number one is structured time. I got saved when I was halfway through Standard 8. And my opa, he was a third generation. His grandfather died when he was 60. His dad died when he was 60. When he turned 61, he got saved. He turned his whole life around. He'd been a staunch Bruderbund guy. And he was one of the most loving Christian men by the time he died. And he called me in just after I got saved. And he laid the foundations. And to me, guys, this is, remember, we've got to visit each room weekly. But it's the engine room where you've got to spend most of your time. And this is it. The first thing is structured time. You cannot start your week and say, "I might have a quiet time this week." Give your best to God. The way I do it, my best time is in the morning. So I will wake up and it varies, be it 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, where I am having time with God. But that's priority. That's my best time of the day. For me personally, it doesn't work to do it at night or during the day. This is not a blueprint. This is something you need to work around. So the first thing is to get a structured time. The second thing is to have some kind of a structured format to that. Okay? So I'd like to suggest 2 things for you. Again, I speak about Billy Graham. He's quite an inspiring man. The how much he's done in the world. What he does, apart from his normal Bible studies, is if you do, there are 31 Proverbs, okay? So every day of the month has a corresponding proverb. And there are 150 Psalms, and if you divide those into the 30 days of the month, you have 5 Psalms a day to read. So we're going to go through it like this, and you can take out your Bible and a pen, and you can scribble in your Bible. Remember this thing that says Holy Bible on the outside? It's a piece of paper, eh? So write in it. I know of people who go through a Bible a year. That's how much they scribbled and write in it. So go and buy yourself another one. So what I want you to do is turn to Proverbs. Proverbs is kind of in the middle. It's just after Psalms. There's Psalms and then there's it's quite a saucy book before you get to... Actually, it's after Proverbs, the saucy book. But you can go and read it yourself. Okay, so this is it. Get to Proverbs. Next to Proverbs chapter 1, write 1 to 5. Okay? The letters, the numbers 1 to 5. That means that on the first day of the month, you're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, and you're going to read Psalms 1 to 5. So at number 2, do 6 to 10. At number 3, 11 to 15. Number 4 is 16 to 20. Number 5 is 21 to 25. Number 6 is 26 to 30. Number 7 is 31 to 35. Number 8, 36 to 40. Number 9 is 41 to 45. Number 10 is 46 to 50. Number 11 is 51 to 55. Number 12 is 56 to 60. 13 is 61 to 65. 14 is 66 to 70. 15 is 71 to 75. 1676 to 80, 1781 to 85, 1886 to 90, 1991 to 95, 96 to 100, 21 is 101 to 105, 22 is 106 to 110, 23 is 111 to 115. 24, make a note. 24's got Psalm 119, so it takes you an extra 15 minutes, eh? So just remember that. 116 to 120. 25 is 121 to 125. 26 is 126 to 130. 27, 131 to 135. 28 is 136 to 140. 29 is 141 to 145. 30 is 146 to 151. So guys, what I do is I try to. I'm not legalistic about it. It's a great thing to meditate and think on, is reading through a chapter of Proverbs and a few Psalms. Because the thing about it is it gives you that wisdom, but it also shows you that there isn't pretense in the Christian life. I can't find pretense in Psalms. Praying that your enemy's teeth will fall out, that his mother will be childless. That is anger, that is bitterness. That, guys, we're here to wrestle with God. This idea of, I'm a happy Christian, my life is cool, I don't really want to hang out with you. Because I'm going through issues I need to deal with in my life. And I know Jesus has the answer for that. So I want to challenge you in that. Take the place of a structured Bible reading program, but it's important to spend time on that. So the second part of that, of the structured format, is get yourself a decent, good quality, structured Bible reading notes. Okay. There are various of them. You can go to Akum Books, you can go on the internet. I find it difficult to be on the internet and have a quiet time because I get distracted with other things. So I use this thing called Close to God. It's a Scripture Union published book, and it goes through for example, every week they're different. This is South African based, so South African writers, and they'll go through a theme or a book in the Bible, and they have 5 days with extra readings. So they'll have an introduction, tell you what to read, and ask you questions about it. And then you need to respond. So it would be really good to get your hands on something like this. There's some good study Bibles as well, but you have to have a structure. Because I've heard all sorts of horrible stories of guys just picking up the Bible and like opening a random verse that says something like, go and kill your neighbor. You know, it's just not cool. The next thing, so that's the third thing, is get a journal. I just use a normal A5 page. We go through different seasons in our lives. Sometimes I'll write like 3 pages a day for weeks at a time. Other times I won't write for 2 months. But that's me. I'm not going to try and be like somebody else. Some people love having these little frilly journals with flowers and stuff on them. That's great. That's cool. If that works for you, floats your boat, that's cool. But get a journal, write stuff down, and then you can turn around and you can see, wow, God's been faithful. How I've written people who I've been praying for, situations, how it's been answered. And even here, sermons. Make notes, eh? It's our priority, guys. Our number one thing is to be a disciple of Jesus, eh? So we must try every single thing to be able to do that. I want to get to heaven one day, and Jesus is going to say to me, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Then, the fourth step is prayer. How do we pray? I'm just taking a little crumble of the pie of prayer. And I want to throw out 2 examples to you. There is so many different ways of praying and things and stuff, but I'd like to just throw these 2 ideas out for you. The first one is, look at your hand. We've all got hands, at least one, so that's fine. And this is how you can pray. Your thumb. You press your thumb on people. The people who are in authority above you. So spend some time praying for your boss or whoever is you are underneath. And honor them. Ask the Lord to reveal himself to them. You know? The next one, your enemies. If you don't have enemies, I don't want to hang out with you either. Because then you're not living the life Jesus promised we'd live. A life of pain and suffering. We're going to get persecuted. If you don't want to get persecuted, maybe you're in the wrong church. Or maybe you're in the wrong religion. But you're going to. You might as well wear a t-shirt that said, Satan hates me. Because he does, guys. And the Bible's clear about it. We are very fortunate in our country that we are not dying like the people around the world. There have been more people murdered for their Christian faith this century than the rest of history. Okay, so we've been praying for the people in authority, our enemies. I don't pray for God to bless my enemies. This is me. I pray for God to reveal himself to my enemies. You know? And I pray for him to really, that they would come to know him and know his great love in their lives. That's the way I go about it. The third one, the tallest finger, is the church. So pray for the church. Pray for whatever Christian people are out there doing ministries. You know? We need to pray for people. We need to pray for the church. Yeah, we need to pray for Alice and Hester, guys. They are Satan's number one enemy in this church is Alistair and Hester. He will want to take them out because he knows if he takes them out, the rest of us are going to suffer. So we must be praying for them, guys. The third one is my ring finger, the people you love. Pray for your family, eh? Pray for your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the one to be one day. You know, there's lots of stuff to still preach about. We've got to talk about relationships, guys. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart for the wellspring of life. So make sure you're guarding your heart and you're praying for whoever that life partner is going to be, that their hearts will be guarded as well. Eh? And then lastly, we've got our little mini-me. Eh? That's when you pray for yourself. And I often find, suddenly my watch is all too late and I forgot about praying for myself, which is cool. Because I don't have to. Jesus knows. He promised. He knows our needs. Okay, so that's one way of praying. Another one is the first book after the Gospels, Acts. So use the letters, A-C-T-S. And this is a bit more difficult than praying with your hand. But try it. Okay? A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication. Okay, so to try and explain them, because my Afrikaans isn't that great. Adoration, that is adoring God. It's not thanking God, it's adoring Him. It's telling Him how great He is. So when you pray, it's very interesting. Whenever we're in little groups at night, we try this. I tell you, it's not a matter of 30 seconds before somebody starts saying thank you. It's not about saying thank you. That will come later. It's about adoring. Glory to God. Just glory to God. Firstly. So A for adoration. C for confession. That's coming and confessing your sins. You know, it's saying, Lord, I have screwed up. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. The next one is the T for thanksgiving. That's when you can actually say thank you to Jesus for what He's done in your life. In various aspects. However He might have blessed you or done something. But that's genuinely saying thank you. And finally, the S is for supplication. And supplication means bringing your requests before Him. So only you don't come and start saying, praying and say, oh Lord, I've got my exam, please help me. That will come later. Let's get our priorities straight. Okay, so act is a little thing to remember. And then the last part of this is meditation. Now, I'm busy specializing as an ENT surgeon. And it's dawned upon me that we have two ears and one mouth. So maybe we should be listening more than we speak. And there's some great verses in the Bible about how our tongue can just set a light, an entire fire, and how we can bless God and curse our enemies with our tongue. And I sometimes wish I would just shut up a bit more and listen. So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to practice some meditation. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to have one song that we sang that we're just going to, as a start, play through and sing it. And then for about 20 minutes, we're going to sit in silence. I'm going to light the candle, and we're going to switch all the lights off. And we're just going to ask Jesus to speak to us personally. It's difficult if you're not used to it, if you're uncomfortable with it. It's 20 minutes, so suck it up, eh? You're just going to have to deal with it. And then afterwards, we'll just close off with the same song again. And then if anybody wants to have some time of being prayed for, they've got any needs, you're welcome to come up for that. So guys, the gist of my whole thing here is every single one of you guys is such a treasure to God. And He wants you guys to know how deeply He loves you. He came to earth to die on the cross for us because He loves us, guys. It's not about us performing. It's not about this pressure of having to be cool and be seen as this amazing Christian. I want to spend as much time with the love of my soul, and that's Jesus. And I do that through His Word, and I do it through prayer. And we go through seasons. It sucks sometimes to wake up and have a quiet time. It's been a long night. I've been working through the night. It's cold. It's miserable. I don't want to. That's normal. But I want to be able to be faithful to the end. And the only way I can do that is by daily spending time with Him. Yes, from that the fruit come of doing outreaches, of going on missionary work, of doing things. But unless you're firstly rooted in Him, look at Daniel. I mean, Daniel was hardcore. That guy prayed archangels around the world. He three times a day would stop and go and spend time with God. I mean, he was like the prime minister, and yet he did that. He got thrown into the lion's den. How many of us who thrown into the lion's den, we cool about it? No, we would absolutely poo ourselves, man. So guys, the heart of what I'm trying to say to you is we've got to revisit each room weekly. We've got to be disciplined in our spiritual disciplines, the inner disciplines, the outer disciplines, the community disciplines. We've got to be bearing fruit. We have to have works in our life. But none of that replaces a personal daily relationship with Jesus. So may you be encouraged from this. Go out, those five things, spend time, find a time in the day that you're going to spend time with Jesus. Some of you can only manage 10 minutes. Hey, that's fine. Don't let somebody come and judge you for that. Some of you are spiritual giants, you want to spend 5 hours. That's also great. Get the time. Get the structure. So we've gone through the little thing with Proverbs and stuff, but get a good Bible study guide to go through. Then go and journal. Write the stuff down, okay? Start praying. Try different things. There's so much stuff out there. There's so many brilliant books out there to read on prayer and stuff. And finally, we're going to spend some time meditating. Now, meditation is difficult, okay? So all it is we're going to go over the song. The candle's up there, and just say, Lord, please come and speak to me. Okay. So guys, you can just close your eyes. We're going to sing the song, and then I'll light the candle, and after 20 minutes, we'll close it off again. Okay.
Okay. It wasn't the end of the world, was it? So guys, yeah, you can come back, and just before we finish the whole thing off, how was that? Is there anybody who wants to come and share something? Is it just good to be still for a change? Eh? So guys, to come back to what I said at the start, childlike or childish. And I really believe we need to be childlike in our faith. Eh? When Ethan asked me for something, he knows I'm going to give it to him. There's no pretense. There's no having to put a mask on. He is still young. He has to grow up. And that's what we are about. We've got to mature in our faith. We've got to grow in our faith. So my prayer is just that every single person who was here tonight, you'd go from here and we'd be inspired to spend time with Jesus again. He's the author and perfect of our faith. He's the guy who's going to spur us on to do great things. And I don't have a doubt there are people sitting here who are going to change the world. But it starts with allowing Jesus to change your heart. So one of the things that came up for me sounds so silly, talking about the whole thing about one mouth, two ears. In our ears is where our organs of balance are as well. And not only do I then sit and listen to what God says to me, but He restores my balance again. Because I'm lank good at getting imbalanced. And I need to come back every day and listen to what God wants to say to me.